of the nectar, rasa, of the mellow, samudra, of the ocean, viprusha, by a drop, sakrit, only once, avalidhaya, tasted, svamanasi, in his mind, nishyandamana, flowing, anavarata, continuously, sukhena, by the transcendental bliss, vishmarita, of the material happiness, lesha abdasaha, the dim reflection of a tiny portion, parama bhagavataha, great exalted devotees, ekantinaha, who have faith only in the Supreme Lord and nothing else. Bhagavati, in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sarvabhuta, to all living entities. Priya, who is dearmost. Suhriti, the friend. Sarva Atmani, the super soul of all. Nitaram, completely. Nirantaram, continuously. Nirvritta, with happiness. Manasaha, those whose minds. Katham, how. Uha, then. Va, or. Ete, these. Madhu Madhana, O killer of the Madhu demon. Hunaha, again. Svaartha Kushalaha, who are expert in the interest of life. He, indeed. Atma Priya Suhridaha, who have accepted you as the super soul, dear most lover and friend. Sadavaha, the devotees. Tvat charana ambuja anusevam. Service to the lotus feet of your lordship. Vishrjanti. Can give up. Na. Not. Yatra. Wherein. Punaha. Again. I am. This. Samsara paryavartaha. Repetition of birth and death within the material world. Translation. Therefore, O killer of the Madhu demon, incessant transcendental bliss flows in the minds of those who have even once tasted but a drop of the nectar from the ocean of your glories. Such exalted devotees forget the tiny reflection of so-called material happiness produced from the material senses of sight and sound. Free from all desires, such devotees are the real friends of all living entities. Offering their minds unto you and enjoying transcendental bliss, they are expert in achieving the real goal of life. O Lord, you are the sole and dear friend of such devotees who never need to return to this material world. How could they give up engagement in your devotional service? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. although non-devotees, because of their meager knowledge and speculative habits, cannot understand the real nature of the Lord, a devotee who has once tasted the nectar from the Lord's lotus feet can realize what transcendental pleasure there is in the Lord's devotional service. A devotee knows that simply by rendering service to the Lord, he serves everyone. Therefore, devotees are real friends to all living entities. Only a pure devotee can preach the glories of the Lord for the benefit of all conditioned souls. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. I will read one more time translation. Therefore, O killer of the Madhu demon, incessant transcendental bliss flows in the minds of those who have even once tasted but a drop of the nectar from the ocean of your glories. Such exalted devotees forget the tiny reflection of so-called material happiness produced from the material senses of sight and sound. Free from all desires, such devotees are the real friends of all living entities. Offering their minds unto you and enjoying transcendental bliss, they are expert in achieving the real goal of life. O Lord, you are the sole and dear friend of such devotees who never need return to this material world. How could they give up engagement in your devotional service? Magyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chachurun Meditamina Tasmai Shri Gurava Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyaya Vacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishna Vibhyo Namo Namo. So, our story starts in 7th chapter, when King Indra was on the assembly of the demigods and great personalities, and he was sitting on his throne with his wife, and he was being praised by many elevated personalities. But same time, his guru, Brihaspati, came. And even though Indra noticed him, he didn't stood up or welcome him properly. And that's why Brihaspati noticed this, that he was neglectful towards him. So he left the assembly to teach him a lesson. Indra very soon understood that he made real big mistake. He didn't respect his spiritual master. So he felt very repentant. He wanted to do something about this. So he left the palace and he went to search out for his guru, and he wanted beg him pardon. But he couldn't find him anywhere. And now story starts again. He lost everything, all his material opulence. Demons attacked demigods, they took his throne, and they were completely helpless. So they went to Brahma and they asked him, what we can do? You just please help us. We did some mistake, but you know, we want to repent, but we don't know what to do, you know, we are completely helpless now. And we are completely, you know, like, we are used to live in comfort and all these facilities, and now we have nothing. So it's quite difficult for us to exist. So please, please help us. Brahma chastised them for their mistake, and you know, to wanted to find out that they really know what they did wrong. And he told, okay, there is one Brahmana his name is Vishvarupa, you go to him and please ask him to be your priest, your guru for time being. So they followed the order of Brahma. They found Vishvarupa, they asked him to be their priest, and under the priesthood of Vishvarupa, they perform many yagyas to please Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Vishvarupa gave them Narayana Kavacha, some special prayers to protect them. And due to this protection of Narayana Kavacha, they again fight with demons and they won. They get back all their facilities. King Indra again become a king of heaven. But he noticed that Vishvarupa, who was making the yagya, was offering oblation to them, also secretly gave oblation to the demons, because he was somehow partial. He loved demigods because they were their family from the side of his father, but the demons, they were the family from the side of mother. So somehow he half heart was towards the demons, but half heart was towards the demigods. And when King Indra find out this, he become very fearful, because again, there will be some inauspicious activity, again there will be some problem, the demons will attack us, and again we will have some problem. So due to this fear, he react in very angry mood, and he cut off three heads of Vishvarupa. But it was not so pleasing to the father of Vishvarupa, and he decided to make yagya to kill, with the intention to kill Indra. So he made big yagya, but you know, Sanskrit mantras are very tricky. If you don't pronounce them properly, you can have like different results. So instead of short vowel, Tvashta said long vowel, and instead of invoking the person who will be the enemy of Indra, he said the mantra, which means there will be some person whose Indra will be enemy. And there is like, seems like there is not so much big difference, but at the end it means that there will be some person who will kill Indra, and the other option was that Indra actually will kill this person. So anyhow, from this yagya start to appear some personality, and at the beginning was quite small, but very very soon started to grow very very fast, and that's why he got the name Vrishta, which means who conquered the space. And he became so huge and quite not so beautiful, because he was like blackish and some copper color mustache and hair. And when demons saw him, they were very happy. Oh, there is someone from our team, and we will, there was no, you know, no one vote for Vritasura, because they agree completely that yes, that one will be our chief, and we will follow him. But at the same time, the demigods, they were very afraid. You know, so big person is here, you know, what to do with him? So they start to fight with him. But what he did, he just swallowed up, he ate up all the weapons. And can you imagine how powerful he was? Because we know that Indra has powerful thunderbolt. There is Varuna, there is Agni, they have all these powerful weapons with water, fire, rain, everything. But it was nothing to this Vritasura. He swallowed up everything. So what now supposed to be done? The demigod just ran away from him. And now they knew that now they are really in a helpless situation. So now Lord Brahma probably will be not so much helpful. So they went to, they start to pray to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They start to pray in this helpless mood to the Lord. And after some time, Lord appeared in front of them, first in their hearts, and there in front of them. And he was very pleased by their prayers, and they were very happy to see him, and they offered their respects to him, and they start to pray again. And they were very clever. The prayers of the demons are very smart, because they indicate, they give hint to Krishna what actually he's supposed to do, what actually they want. And like in our today's verse, they say, "O killer of Madhu demon." What means like, okay, we know you, we want you to incarnate, we want you to kill this Vritasura demon, and we know you can do it because you already killed many demons, like this Madhu. And then they start to say about the pure devotees whose life and soul and their dearest friend is Krishna. So they indirectly say to the Lord, okay, you know, you are the your friends are devotees, sadhus, saintly person, pious person. And when the Vritasura demon will conquer the universe, the demons will start to rule over the universe, and then all these sadhus, pious people and devotees will have problem, because they will be harassed by the demons. So better you come and incarnate and protect them. And you says in Bhagavad Gita, paritranaya sadunam sa vinashaya sadustritam sa dharmasam stapayatami sambhavami yuge yuge, to protect the pious and to annihilate the miscreants and to reestablish the principles of the religion, I incarnate, I appear personally myself millennium after millennium. So we can see that demigods are clever in praying to the God. They pray to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They want to please him, but they have also their inner intention. And in this Sanskrit words here to the our verse, we have words like mahima, glories, amrita, nectar, and rasa mellow. So we can see from this that this mellow, which this devotee derives from this chanting the glories of Krishna, of the Lord, are amrita, which is nectar. But also amrita means that which doesn't die, what exists eternally, which immortality. So we have also an example of such a prayer given by four Kumaras to the Lord. And they pray that, "You Lord, you are so wonderful that only you are worth to be glorified." And very auspicious person who do that, who glorify you, they are completely joyful. They don't want even liberation. They don't want, what to speak about the post of the Indra. Who wants to be an Indra? Indra always has some fear in him, because always some harassment by demons going on. So who has knowledge and chant your glory actually wants to be an Indra? Because devotee wants to be devotee by chanting the names of the Lord, by chanting the glory of the Lord, they become joyful. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nasuchati Nakangshati Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. One who is thus transcendentally situated, he becomes joyful. He doesn't hanker for anything. He doesn't lament. He is equally disposed to all living entities. And in this state, he can attain pure devotional service. And then, in our purport, Prabhupada says that a devotee knows that simply by rendering service to the Lord, he serves everyone. Therefore, devotees are real friends to all living entities. And same statement is said by Lord Kapila to his mother when he explained the glories of sadhus, of devotees. Titiksha sva karunika suhridam sarva dehinam ajata shatravak santak sadhus sadavas sadhu bhushanam. That the characteristic of the sadhu is that he is merciful, he is karunika, he is friendly to all living entities, he is peaceful, he follows the scriptures. And sadhu, devotee, he wants to enlighten others in the knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He knows that human life is meant for self-realization, for God-realization. And he is, and otherwise the human life will be spoiled. But he doesn't do this, he doesn't self-realize himself only. He doesn't want liberation only for himself. He's always thinking about others. He wants to help others because he knows that they are suffering and they are spoiling their life, so he wants to help them. And that's why he is actually ever well-wisher to all living entities, and not actually to the only to the human society, because it's written this in this verse that it sarva dehinam, to all living entities who God, the material body. And Srila Prabhupada is a living example of such a person who has this quality, who is ever well-wisher to everyone, to every living entity, not only to humans. And there was the story in Juhu, when devotee got the land, they started prepare everything, and Srila Prabhupada came, and he noticed that on this possession there are missing one or two trees. And he became very concerned and even very upset, and he said, why you did cut these trees? And devotee, that time they were thinking, we have perfect answer for this. You know, we just start, we want to build the temple, we need permission for building the temples. So the government said that you have to cut this tree because here there will be a road. But Srila Prabhupada said, no, this is against our religion. You go to them and told, stop cutting the tree. The devotees were a little like shocked about what to do, Prabhupada said. And then, after some time, Prabhupada went to world tour and he came back to Juhu, and first thing he spoke was, I was in Tehran and I've seen that they have tree on the street. We will do same. You go to government and say that it's possible. We will have road and we will have trees. And the devotee went and they got the permission from the government. And even till now we can see the trees safe by Srila Prabhupada. And one more story. In Mayapur, Prabhupada was eating lunch and one devotee was fanning Srila Prabhupada. And he was very confused because he noticed that Prabhupada is eating and the ants, like hundreds of ants, are coming to the plate of Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, he ate in the stages. First he was eating sabji, then with chapati, then he was eating rice mixed with dal. And this devotee, he noticed that the ants actually, they know where they are allowed to go to which preparation. And he noticed that they start to come to this preparation which already were finished by Srila Prabhupada. But Srila Prabhupada same time was eating still from this plate. And this devotee was like really confused, and he wanted to like remove the ants, and he was fanning Srila Prabhupada. He didn't know exactly what to do. But Srila Prabhupada only looked at him, smiled, and said, "Oh, all right, they eat only very little." So we can see how much Srila Prabhupada was ever well-wisher to every living entities. And we know that in this material world, the friendship is actually based on the mutual sense gratification. But when this gratification is somehow disturbed, the relationship also becomes disturbed. But Srila Prabhupada was a friend to everyone. By his motive was desire to help everyone to achieve the best potential to achieve the goal of life, the highest goal of life. And he didn't want to exploit anyone. He always said that everything is out of love, that I serve you, you serve me, but we serve Krishna together, but it is out of love. So he is this Suhridam, real friend from our heart, on the level of the heart. And also, when there was some misconception, someone offended Srila Prabhupada even, he never took it seriously. He was very forgiving. And very significantly, we can see that every letter of Srila Prabhupada was closed with this sentence, "Your ever well-wisher." And Srila Prabhupada also said that our mission is summarized with the phrase "Sarva Sukhino Bhavantu," which means "let everyone be happy." And Prabhupada said, one can be happy only by spiritual realization, and without being happy, no one can execute devotional service. And every living entity actually feels distress and happiness according to the development of one's consciousness. And Srila Rupa Goswami in Nectar of Devotion wrote that actually we have three kinds of happiness. One which is sourced from the material enjoyment, from sense perception. Second is happiness derived from being one with Supreme God, of achieving Brahma Jyoti. And third, happiness we can derive from devotional service. And he checked all the scriptures, and his conclusion is that actually only happiness from devotional service is worthy because it's eternal. Because from material enjoyment and this from Brahma Jyoti, it's temporary. It comes for some time, but it's finished. And only from devotional service, actually, we can have eternal happiness. And also in Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna said, Krishna divides happiness in three categories according to the mood of nature. And he said that this happiness, which from the beginning tastes like a poison, but after tastes like nectar, and which arise and give us self-realization, is the happiness from mood of goodness. And also there is happiness which at the beginning tastes like a nectar, but after ends like a poison. And this happiness is derived from the sense, and the object of the sense. And this is happiness in the mood of passion. And third kind of happiness, which from the beginning to the end is only delusion and arise from the laziness, from sleep, it's from the mood of ignorance. And Srila Prabhupada said that everyone wants to live peaceful and happy life because it's ananda maya vyasa, because by nature everyone is happy. So I would like to share some few habits which I developed during over the years, and I feel that these habits are important on the journey, on the path of self-realization. And first is meditation. It's very important to meditate. And we have our japa meditation. But what is important, that we have to chant attentively. And in our sadhana, we have to put emotion to the action, not only do it this mechanically, because we are doing every day, and we just doing because we are doing, because we supposed to do. But what is actually important, it is the right reason why we are doing what we are doing. And our attitude is very important, because Srila Prabhupada in the introduction to Nectar of Instruction, he wrote that attitude, that to advance in Krishna consciousness, advancement in Krishna consciousness actually depends of the attitude of the followers. So we have to always remind ourselves why we are doing our sadhana, why we are doing what we are doing. The right reason, and this reason is supposed to be to please Krishna. This is devotional service, not because we are afraid of something, we have to do it, but we want to please Krishna. Then is we have to maintain our good health. And Srila Prabhupada always wrote a letter, and he was signed that, "I hope this meet you in good health." Srila Prabhupada always was concerned that his disciples lead their life, healthy life, means including cleanliness, exercise, and simple healthy diet. And when his disciple was sick, Prabhupada said, "You know, your first business is to look after your health, because when you don't feel well, everything will be like topsy-tipsy. We have to be healthy." And then, what is important to simplify life. It means that when we are doing something, we're supposed to do only one thing at the one time. And same time, we have to focus on this, what we are doing. And next is give ourselves permission to be human.
allow ourselves to actually feel, accept the painful emotion which comes to us. And even Krishna in Srimad Bhagavatam says to Arjuna that, you know, this temporary appearance of happiness and distress, it's like coming and going of rain, winter and summer season. And it's only from the sense perception arised, and one should tolerate it without being disturbed. And sometimes we can see that devotee, you know, like something happened to devotee and they are completely disturbed by that, that they are unhappy. But it's natural. It's in this material world, happiness and distress are coming to us. We don't have to invite either of happiness and distress. So we're supposed to know that we are happy, but also from time to time, we're supposed to expect this, that we will be unhappy, we will suffer, we will feel some negative emotion. And it's nothing wrong, because we live in this material world, and till we will be here, it's natural that it will come. And same was even with great devotees, they were sick. We read in Srimad Bhagavatam, even Indra, the demigods, they have problem, they have fear. And next, my habit is like to keep association of devotees, and especially quality time with family or friends. And what is important, that we associate with people who take care of us and we care of them. And with this, it's very important, like Srila Rupa Goswami in Nectar of Instruction, he wrote the six symptoms of love: to give gifts, to receive gifts, to open our mind to devotees, and to hear the opening mind of others, and also to give prasadam and to receive prasadam. It's very important to build good relationship with devotees and have this quality time. And what is also important, to engage ourselves in meaningful service. And it can be anything, but what is meaningful for you, for me. And it must including the things which we like to do and use with, in this service, our skills, what we are good at something. So if so we have to combine this, and what is important, also find some service in which we can cooperate with other devotees, like some teamwork. And there, optimism. We have to be optimistic. And it also it's from Nectar of Instruction. You know, there is the six things which are very favorite to our devotional service, and there is enthusiasm. But what is actually enthusiasm? Enthusiasm is put effort with intelligence. And there is being patient, and this everything is going to be our optimism, because we have to know that this process is step-by-step process, gradually process, and we have to give time. Prabhupada said this is not overnight process. We cannot be devotee, you know, like I'm going to sleep today and morning time I will be devotee. No, it needs time. It needs the effort which I put every day, in conscious effort we have to make, to make it, actually. This is our goal. Very important to have goal in life. We have to have small goal and this big goal, and we have to successfully go and reach them one after another. And we need to be enthusiastic and have patience that it will happen in course of time. And last one, but not the, but very important, it's gratitude. I try to find treasure of happiness in my everyday life. And Srila Prabhupada said that actually everyone supposed to be grateful to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he gave us all necessity of our life. We have to be grateful, but there is no mean to express our gratefulness, like to hold the hands and say thank you to Krishna. And what is important with this gratitude, to use this gratitude as a habit, and like keeping journal of our gratitude, or remind ourselves every night what we are grateful for that day, is very helpful in this. And what actually gratitude does to us is like strengthen our immune system, and we become more kind to other living entities. So thank you. Maybe some question or comments? Yes? How to increase gratitude?
Yes, how, thank you so much for the wonderful lecture. So how increase gratitude?
So by making gratitude a habit, just use gratitude every day. And what is useful for me, it's like keeping a journal of gratitude. Just every time when I'm grateful for something, the thought is coming, I'm just write down. And then it's easier to see, you know, like every day, and after you can read from time to time what you wrote, what you are grateful for. And always remember that Prabhupada said that Krishna gives us everything to live. He gives us the air, and without air, we cannot live so long. So every time we can be grateful. And also every day, every night, before you going to sleep, you can just think about five things. You force yourself to think about five things you are actually grateful for. And just write them down. And do it systematically. And it will be actually your habit. And Prabhupada said the habit is the second nature of the human, yeah? So if you make it a habit, it will work for you. Thank you. Yes? I cannot.
Hello. I just want to say thank you so much for the class. But as a devotee, we can think of a million things that we're grateful for as devotees every day. Just being in the Dharma with everybody and having so much great association like yourself, I just, words cannot express the gratitude. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Krishna, thank you for a lovely class. As far as gratitude goes, you know, when we study Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, it explains that actually we can do nothing. Everything is done by the Lord. So actually we can be thankful for being able to take a step, you know, that Krishna is empowering us. We can take a step. We can be grateful actually for everything.
Yes.
And it's just, you know, the more you feel grateful, the more he blesses you, and it becomes a part of our ecstasy, really. It's very easy to be grateful.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you for the amazing lecture. My question, Hare Krishna, my question is related to gratitude. You said maintaining. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Question is regarding gratitude only. You said maintaining a journal, it really helps, you know. Like, how does it help if you if you write down your experiences and you relive your experiences, like you make a progress, like how does it actually help? I haven't maintained, but I find the idea very attractive, you know, maintaining a journal about the moments when you feel gratitude towards nature or God or the creation around you. And it's easier when you are in a dham and in the association of devotees. When you go in the material world, it is very difficult to find gratitude around you also. So yeah, one question is, how does writing helps in, like expressing gratitude? And when you go into the material world, when people are all hankering after each other, you know, like, then the level of gratitude, it goes down, you know, generally. How to maintain the same level of gratitude which you feel in the association of devotees and in the dham, you know. So this is my question.
Prabhupada said that coming to dham is like charging the battery. So we are here in the Haribol, hello. Coming to Holy Dham is like charging our spiritual battery. That we are here, we experience all these wonderful things that are going on. Many devotees together, chanting, dancing, class, beautiful deities. And we have to keep it with us in our heart and then relish every day at home, wherever we will go. We will keep it in our heart. And what I meant by this keeping the journal is like with our sadhana also. I wrote that what is important to put emotion every time when you are doing this. Just not like mechanically I will write something and I don't feel actually this. Because we don't want this another routine. We want to live by this gratitude. We feel gratitude. Like Mataji beautifully said that it's actually nothing else but be grateful to Krishna, because whatever we have, we cannot even move the finger without some demigod who is, you know, in charge of this. And everything is supplied for us from Krishna. So we don't have any other choice like be grateful actually. If you are aware of this mystery of the world, you are in awe and gratitude. But what is important to feel it, and make it effort, you know, to remember, because this world is full of forgetfulness. We all the time forget. We forget that we are servant of Krishna, that we're supposed to be happy with Krishna. So that's why we forget everything. That's why we have to do everything again and again every day, our sadhana, everything, because we forget. And these things are keeping us remember Krishna. And what is important is to remember Krishna. But Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita, "You remember me, you will come to me." So all of these things we are doing, we have to do it with emotion to remember Krishna. I hope it helped. Thank you.
Thank you, Mother, for a nice class. As you told that we should chant attentively and with emotion. But most of time I found that my japa is almost like mechanical or like parrot. So how can I add emotion or can chant with feeling or like few tips?
By chanting attentively, we have to know. And this reason, your reason supposed to be there. Why you are doing this? You are doing this to please Krishna. So you think Krishna will be pleased when you will be neglectful to him? You imagine Krishna is there in holy dham, holy name. And And so you invite Krishna, please Krishna, come. And Krishna is here and you just... Krishna will be not happy. Even if you are talking to someone else, if you invite someone, you're supposed to be respectful to that person. You're supposed to be attentive to him. So same is with chanting japa. It's very personal thing. Krishna is everywhere. Krishna can hear you. You say Hare Krishna, you invite Krishna, Krishna comes. But you are just ignoring him. How you would feel if someone will invite you and at the same time do all this nonsense and completely ignoring you, how you would feel? Krishna is a person, you are a person, everything is personal. So be there. When you are doing something, do it feeling, be attentive, aware, conscious of what you are doing every time. I hope it will help.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Srimad Gantaraj, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.